Okay, so we are moving into the play session procedures checklist. This is going to be your right before the session, read this over, mark it up, make sure that you've taken care of all the things that you need to so that you are ready, you're confident, you're comfortable, and you're not worrying that you forgot something or that you missed something. So really helpful to have this. You may want to remind your child that this day is our special playtime. You also have those playtime appointment cards. So if you give that to your child, that's helpful. You just want to give them a little bit of a reminder and something that they can look forward to. So here are your A, B, C, and D of your checklist broken down into prior to the session, beginning the session, during the session, and ending the session. So really helpful, it's chunked up so that you can kind of tackle one at a time. So prior to the session, and remember, as we talked in the do's, you want to set the stage. So here's, practically speaking, what that looks like. Make arrangements for other family members so that there will be no interruptions. So siblings are being watched, spouses are somewhere else doing something, pets are taken care of. You want to make sure that everyone in the family is taken care of so there won't be interruptions. Because the most frustrating thing is when you're right in the middle of this really special play moment and a dog comes in and you have to get up and remove the dog, or sibling comes in and says, I can't find my, and then you have to address that. So set the stage, make sure that those things are taken care of. You're going to set up the toys on the quilt, sheet, blanket, rug, whatever it is that you're going to use. Remember, keep your placement predictable. We talked about that. Have a clock visible in the room. It says or wear a watch. I actually prefer to say do not wear a watch, because you don't want the unintended outcome of looking at your watch the whole time to seem like you're waiting for the session to end or that you're hurrying through the time. I prefer to have a clock so you can just glance up, glance right back, and the child doesn't realize that you're keeping track of time. A lot of parents will ask me about setting a timer. A timer is also helpful if you set it for 25 minutes so that you can give a 5-minute warning. And we'll talk through the 5-minute warning in just a bit. But if you set it for the full 30, the child has no prep to wrap up the session. So if you do set a timer, you would want it to be a 25-minute timer so you can say, okay, at this point we have 5 minutes left, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Make sure pets are outside or in another room. We discussed that. Make sure the child uses the bathroom prior to the play session. I briefly mentioned that as well. Play sessions are emotional, and emotions, especially heightened emotions, cause somatic reactions. So a very common outcome for an emotionally charged play session is the child needs to go to the bathroom. If you have them go ahead of time, it will at least minimize the likelihood that they will need to go right after they have just gone. So you can't necessarily prevent all bathroom trips, but you can prevent most of them by making sure they go ahead of time. And make sure you hit record. Don't be that parent that gets all of this set up and has it ready, and then you get to the end of the session and you go, oh my gosh, I never pushed the button. And it happens, so if it happens, it happens. But that's why it's on the list. Make sure that you hit record. Make sure it's recording. Make sure there's enough battery. Make sure there's enough memory on the SD card. Whatever you need to do, make sure that it's going to capture the entire 30 minutes so that we can watch those with you. Okay, so there's your prior to the session checklist. That's an easy one. Beginning the session, 3 simple steps in this section. You want to make sure you hang the Do Not Disturb sign up. That was your project that you worked on with your child. It can be simple, it can be complex, it can look however you want it to look. But you want to make sure that you hang that up, and the message is, this is so important that no one can interrupt us. I have a lot of families that say, I'm doing it in a loft, I'm doing it in a room that doesn't have a door, I can't really hang it on a doorknob. Hang it on a nail, tack it up with tape, doesn't matter. It's really more of a formality just to say, no one can disturb us. So you want to make sure that you have that visible for the session. You are going to say to your child, we have 30 minutes of special playtime, and you can play with all the toys in most of the ways that you want. We talked about that phrase earlier. From this point forward, the child's in charge. So that is your last hurrah as the person that is facilitating this whole thing, As soon as you say, we have 30 minutes and you can choose to play with all the toys in most of the ways that you'd like, that is the break. That is where you are no longer in charge and the child can take over. So that is your beginning of the session checklist. Now, during the session, here are some really helpful pointers. You want to sit on the same level as your child. So sometimes parents have done it in a living room or a family room environment, and they're sitting on the couch and the child is playing on the floor. You don't want there to be a height differential. You don't want there to be any kind of higher position versus lower position. You always want to be on the same eye level as the child. And you want to show interest by sitting close enough that it's very clear that you're paying attention and aware, but you also don't want to block the child from being able to move freely. So don't get really close to the child, but don't stay really far away from the child. 2 to 3 feet is usually a pretty good range based on, you know, the space that you have and things like that. But it's helpful to have a pretty comfortable distance, but you still want to be close enough to see and hear and pay attention. Okay. Focus your ears, eyes, and body fully on the child. Remember, rule of thumb, toes follow your nose. So you want to convey full attention in your body language, in your posture, in where your eyes and ears and nose and body are focused. So you want to make sure that you're communicating, I am fully invested and engaged. Your voice should be mostly gentle and caring, but it should vary with intensity and the affect of the child's play. In other words, the child is really frustrated, really serious, really upset. Your tone of voice and your facial expression should match that to a degree, just like we did when we processed reflecting feeling skill. If they're really excited, really animated, you should be along that direction as well. So you want to vary based on where the child is emotionally. Okay, allow your child to identify the toys. This is really important. So if your child picks up a water bottle and has it in his hand and you immediately say, oh, you grabbed the water bottle, but the child intended to use it as a rocket ship and fly it through space, by not allowing the child to identify what it was, it interrupted the play narrative that was in the child's head. So you want to make sure that you wait for the child to identify what it is. How do you do that? You use non-specific words in the meantime. So you grab that. Oh, you want this. Oh, it's going to go over there. They are doing that. You do pronouns that really are nondescript until the child has identified what it is. So that is only if the child has not named the toy. If the child picks it up and says, I grabbed the French fries, then you can obviously say, oh, you've got the French fries. But if they just grab a handful of French fries, you say, oh, you picked those up. Because you want it to be very clear that they get to decide what things are and for what purpose they are using them. So that is a helpful tool. And then you want to play actively if the child requests your participation. So remember, you want to be active, not passive, but you only jump in and play when the child requests your participation. So again, they're leading, you just follow. You verbally reflect what you see and hear. We've talked through that. Reflect content, reflect feeling, track behavior. You set limits on behaviors that make you feel uncomfortable. If the child's trying to shoot you with a dart, if the child is so rough that something's going to get broken, if they're jumping up and down on the couch and they're going to break an ankle, whatever the scenario is, trust me, I've seen it all, you will set a limit on the behavior that it makes you uncomfortable. Again, we'll go through that in depth next week. You want to give a 5-minute notice. I mentioned this before, so the timer would be set for 25 minutes if you're going to use a timer. You always want to give a 5-minute notice. They say a 1-minute notice. Personally, I use a 2-minute warning, not a 1-minute warning. So I give a 5-minute and a 2-minute. I feel 1 minute is not long enough to really wrap up anything meaningful that they're working on. So I always try to give a 2-minute warning instead, and then 2 minutes is usually enough for them to kind of have some closure in whatever they're playing. So you will say, child's name, we have 5 minutes left of our special playtime. And then at the 2-minute warning, you'll say, we have 2 more minutes. then they know they need to wrap up, count down, and be ready to finish as soon as the 30 minutes are over. So at that 30-minute mark, here's your ending the session checklist. You stand. Standing is important because it communicates our playtime is over. When you stand, it's very clear you are no longer participating in the playtime. So announce our playtime is over for today. Don't exceed the time limit by 2 or 3 minutes. I will tell you, there will be times when the child is almost done doing something. What they're doing is really powerful or significant. It's really deep. You just get a sense that, okay, I'm gonna give them a couple extra minutes because what they're doing is important. Trust your gut on that, but don't let that go more than 2 or 3 minutes past. You will clean up. That's a common question. What happens after the play session for all the cleanup of the toys? That is your job. Now, the child can choose to help. You don't offer that as a choice, but if the child starts to help you or says, can I help? The child's always more than welcome to help. However, some kids will use it as an opportunity to continue to play while they're cleaning. So, oh, I'll help you. And then as you're cleaning, they're just continuing to play. So you will set a limit on that if that's the case, but they are able to choose to help if they would like to. So here's your checklist for if the child has difficulty leaving. First and foremost, you want to open the door if you were in a closed room or begin to put away the toys. Remember, it's already in its own self-contained bin, so you can just grab the bin and start putting things away the way that you're going to store them for the week. You obviously want to reflect the child's feeling about not wanting to leave. So you calmly and firmly restate the limit, but you still validate their feeling. And here's the important piece. You will restate this limit as many times as needed because the goal is for the child to stop him or herself. It's very easy for us to jump in and say, I told you time's up, and just take the toys and force the child out of the room. But they don't learn anything about self-control and self-responsibility when we just force them to comply. We want to give them the space and the time and the number of limits needed for them to comply because that is their development of self-control and responsibility. So I know you would like to stay and play with the toys. You're reflecting the feeling. I know you don't want our playtime to be over. I know you wish you could play longer. I know you're sad about our time being up. Acknowledge their feeling, set the neutral limit, but our special playtime is over for today. That's step one and step two of limit setting. Adding a statement that gives the child something to look forward to is often helpful, and that would be that alternative. So, look, you can't continue to play with these special toys right now. This is not what you say to the child. I'm just helping you set the tone in your mind. Look, you can't play with these anymore, but there's something else you can do that's enjoyable. So I know you'd like to stay and play with the toys, but our special playtime is over for today. You can choose to play with the toys next week during our special playtime. There's an alternative. Another alternative is it's time for snack. Do you choose grapes or cherries today? The focus then shifts to what do you want to eat? Or we can go outside and play on the trampoline. This is not an option, but we can go do this other fun activity instead. And in any of those scenarios, the note at the bottom, patience is the order of the day when helping the child leave. It is okay to calmly repeat that limit several times to allow the child to struggle with leaving on their own. You want to show empathy, you want to show understanding, you want to say, I'm here, I hear you, I understand, and I care. Your facial expression and your tone of voice are all nonverbal ways of communicating those things. Younger children may need more time to hear and respond to the limit. A really helpful mental clock is young kids need about 60 seconds to process something that's hard for them to process. So we often tell kids something or we give them a choice and we expect within a 5-second response. Studies show they need about 60 seconds. So sometimes just being patient and waiting is the time that they need to process that choice, especially if it's not a choice they want to make. Look, they really want to just keep playing. That's the choice they want to make. But to make a different choice, they need space and time to do it. So give them some patience, give them some space. It will help them develop their self-control, their self-responsibility, their self-regulation. Box at the bottom, probably something you should highlight with a highlighter or marker, underline it, however you want to do it, circle star it. Never use special playtime as a reward nor as a consequence. They cannot earn special playtime by being especially good. They cannot lose special playtime by having a really rough day. It is never a reward, it is never a consequence. No matter the child's behavior, playtime is scheduled and it is something that is part of the routine for that day. Why is that so important? Because this is designed to create the relationship that you want, and therefore it is not contingent on behavior. Behavior problems will naturally reduce. They will naturally start to behave in more self-enhancing ways as we go through this. So that is a byproduct that will come in the immediate. This is something that we are doing together because I care about you and I'm building our relationship. This has nothing to do with your behavior. So that's really important. It can't be earned, it can't be lost. Okay, and the final piece of this is the very last sheet for you is a picture of the toys of how to set up your play session. So I just wanted to briefly cover that with you because we've talked about it, but it's helpful to see it. I like to see things. It helps me get a visual in my mind. So as you can see, there's the blanket set up on the floor. One side is left open on purpose. This U shape is designed to make it very clear that it is inviting for the child to come into the center of the toys and sit down and play surrounded by the toys. So one side of the blanket is left open. That U shape is on purpose. And as you can see, if you're looking at your sheet, left side is real life toys. Bottom side is creative artistic toys. Right side is acting out aggressive toys. So as I mentioned before, those groups will remain on those same sides of the blanket. But the Bobo does not necessarily have to be next to the dinosaur, as long as all of the acting out aggressive toys are still on the right side. So you will maintain this U shape, set up the categories of toys in the same places, and that is how you will set up your playtime so that you are ready for the child to come in and play. So that wraps up all of the skills and the content for this week. In the next video, I will go over your homework with you. See you then.